16, Newton Brooks, Gulf Coast. I have a question for the committee, please. Number 9, I was under the impression that we gave this loan committee the authority to complete a loan. In 11, on line 4 and 5, we say that a repayment schedule shall be agreed upon by the MUS committee and the borrowing congregation at the time the loan is executed. To me, that seems to be a conflict.
Jack, you want to answer that? The moderator is going to take the liberty of saying in one case it's the authority to decide whether a loan shall be made, in the other case it's to decide how the loan shall be made. Jack says that's correct.
It was my impression, though, that this number 9 gives this committee authority to go ahead and act in shall we say, emergencies or with speed. And if this is the case, then we are also binding them to go back to the MUS committee at the time the loan is executed. So that would put them back in the position they were before, that they would have to go back to the MUS committee before they could actually complete a loan.
That's for the repayment schedule, Jack.
I think this can be handled by the MUS committee delegating to this committee the authority to agree upon a repayment schedule. Now, if that repayment schedule is going to be changed under this thing, we would have to go to the full committee to change the repayment schedule. That's true. But to agree upon it the first time, when the loan is made, the MUS committee would have full authority to give to the committee appointed under 9 to agree upon that repayment schedule. You would not have to go to the whole committee, as I understand it.
Thank you. If that is the case, I'm satisfied.
Microphone 12.
Robert Miller, New River Presbytery. I need a little information. As I understand it, this amendment is proposed to substitute for 5C. And if that's the case, it seems that the repayment schedule has to be submitted each year. Can I get some help in that regard?
You better say that again, sir.
If this statement is substituted for Part 5C...
In the guidelines.
In the guidelines, up above there, at the introduction to that list, it says to furnish to the mission to the United States on an annual basis the following.
I think this would agree with you. I don't think it has to be submitted every year. I think the repayment schedule would have to be reviewed every year. And I think that's what the committee would want for this reason. A church may start out not being able to pay much. They may get a real growth in membership. They may be able to pay a lot more, and we would want to get that money back to turn it as fast as possible. So it would be the repayment schedule would be reviewed each year.
Microphone 14.
Moderator, Fred Marsh, Tennessee Valley Presbytery. I'd just like to emphasize that the intention of the Committee of Commissioners, I believe, in recommending this substitution was not to bind a congregation, but simply to help us in the financial planning and management to know when to expect the money back, and also to give the congregation more of a sense of responsibility. But it is negotiable, and it is flexible, and those details can be worked out.
I sense the Assembly is ready to vote on this. If you are ready to vote on it, will you please say aye?
Aye.
If you want to talk about it some more, say no. We're going to vote on recommendation 11. All in favor of recommendation 11, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Mr. Chairman, 12.
That the MUS committee's anticipated move to Atlanta, according to their minutes of April the 6th, 1978, close quote, close parenthesis, by August 1978 be approved. This, so moved.
Oh. I see no one seeking the microphone without objection. It is so ordered. Overture.
Now the overture.
Yes, sir.
This first Overture 8 is on page 24. Overture 8, recommendation number 1, that the Presbytery has final approval of a man's qualification for any call within its boundaries. 2, that this in no way requires the denominational MUS committee to give any financial support for any man without the approval of said denominational committee.
Move it, Dr.
So move.
I see no one seeking the microphone. It is adopted.
Overture 23, page 27. That the assembly answer in the affirmative.
To divide that presbytery.
Divide the presbytery.
So move.
Overture 34 on page 30 with regard to Palmer.
Wait a minute. Did you so move? I got somebody coming to the mic. Move it, my brother. You say I so move.
So move.
Microphone 12.
Mr. Moderator, I may have moved a little slow. I want to speak to the overture about the division of Carolina Presbytery.
That's it.
May I now speak to that?
That's it, brother.
I am Charles Wilson. I am from Carolina Presbytery, and I would ask the assembly to defeat this overture. I speak against it on three grounds. First of all, Presbytery is asking that this division come because of geographical reasons. I do not feel that that is a valid reason. There are many men in several different presbyteries who travel far greater distances than the men of Carolina Presbytery. In fact, there's an overture coming up in a few moments which will enlarge Pacific Presbytery to include Arizona and New Mexico, Washington and Oregon and Hawaii. Certainly that is further to travel than from one section of North Carolina to another section. I oppose it on a second ground, that it would involve poor stewardship. If we divide the presbytery, it's going to have to double the committees, double the finances, require a great deal more manpower, and I believe that that is poor use of the Lord's resources. And then I oppose it and ask you to vote against it for a third reason, and that is that I do not believe that everyone is being sincere when they say that they want to divide on grounds of geographical distance. I fear that there are other problems involved here which need to be dealt with. And so I would ask the assembly not to approve this particular overture. Thank you, sir.
Microphone 7.
I am Gene Parks from Carolina Presbytery, a ruling elder. I would support the recommendation that you have before you. The presbytery considered this division at some length with an overwhelming majority in favor of it. It was not unanimous, as we can see. But the reason for the division was exactly as stated. It is a long way from Lincoln County to Manio. And the majority of the commissioners at Presbytery at that time felt that we could divide and multiply, and it was a good time because the feeling of the most of the Presbytery at the day we adopted this would be as you have presented here. I have heard, not on the floor of Presbytery, but in private conversation, that there are reasons other than the geographical area, but I know of any, at least in I would be associated in the Eastern Division, and certainly none in that division of being divided. So I would encourage the General Assembly, as with what the feeling of the overwhelming majority of the Presbytery wants to do, to divide and let the Central and Eastern multiply as we feel like we can do. Thank you.
Microphone 12.
I speak in favor of the recommendation, so if there's someone else who wishes to speak against it,
All right, someone wants to speak. Are you up against it?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Mr. Moderator, I'm Dewey Murphy from Carolina Presbytery, and I'm opposed to the overture to divide the presbytery. I think a careful examination of the map which appears on page 29 will testify to the fact that the geography is really not the principal reason for dividing the presbytery. High Point and Burlington would have to travel as far or farther to go to New Bern or Chocowinity, which is on the east coast, than they would to any of the churches in the Charlotte area. A careful look at the line of demarcation will reveal and reflect that. I do have a personal fear that there are greater ramifications than geography that precipitated the move to divide the presbytery. And I'm fearful that if we divide the presbytery on the grounds of geography, when in reality there are other problems, then I'm fearful that God is not going to bless and honor such a move as that. What would we have the effect if we were to divide? Well, we'd have 10 churches in the central section and 8 churches in the eastern section. With the 10 churches in the central section, there are 2 very, very small churches, which would be tantamount to saying that we would have 8 churches in the central section, and we there would be a very weak and impotent presbytery. And in the same would be true in the eastern section, 8 churches there. And I'm fearful that the Lord has blessed Carolina Presbytery, we started out 4 years ago, with 5 churches, and I believe it was 4 ministers, and I was one of them. And we've seen how the Lord has blessed, and we have grown, and I would just personally hate to see the presbytery divide and throw us back 4, 5, 6 years into the state that we were in when we were first organized. And I'd just like to simply ask that the General Assembly prayerfully and very seriously consider this move, because I do not believe that it would be in the best interest. My prayer is that the problems, or whatever they may be, can be resolved, and then when we reach the point that we can divide and become 2 strong presbyteries, then we can do so. Yes, sir.
Mr. Commissioner, the moderator is a little bit distressed, unhappy, unsettled, what have you, that there are allegations, not exactly allegations, but references being made to matters that quite obviously will not be brought to the floor of this assembly. Now, if we're going to make a decision on this basis, and I see some others apparently wanting to say something further on the same subject, then I think personally the best motion would be to resubmit this to the Committee on Commissioners and let these matters come out in the open, if there are such matters. I'm just uncomfortable about having such references in the debate on the floor of the Assembly when, quite obviously, there will not be further elaboration upon them.
Mr. Moderator, I apologize that I can't further elaborate.
I'm not. I have no authority to cut off debate. I'm just expressing a personal viewpoint that I'm unhappy with the way the discussion is going. Go ahead and complete. Are you finished?
Yes, sir. I've just about finished all I've got to say.
Well, then right behind you was a brother who wanted to speak on the other side.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Ted Smith of the Carolina Presbytery, and these reasons that these 2 brethren have given, I believe, are being overstated as far as the total vote constituency in the presbytery is concerned. These elements that are allegations that are being made, I think, are much less in effect as would seem to be from what they have said. most of the men in the presbytery, as was stated by Gene Parks there a minute ago, are very much in favor of the division. Geographical reasons being one of the main reasons, but also we believe that the two presbyteries will be large enough and sufficiently effective and manpower enough to accomplish far more in Central and Eastern North Carolina than we could even as one. In fact, it already is working this way in the different areas of the state. So these allegations that have been made are not as deep, I don't feel, and most of the people do not feel this way. So I would urge the General Assembly to go ahead and make a decision on this matter, as we can go ahead. We have already started much of the work going, and much can be accomplished, and to go right ahead with the work. We believe that the General Assembly would agree with us in it. And so I would urge the General Assembly to vote in favor of this.
Commissioner, microphone number 8 has been on his seat for a while.
Mr. Moderator, in the absence of anything other than the word allegation,
and the word deeper problems, and the word further ramifications, I respectfully call for the question.
That wasn't a fair call for the question, brother.
Thank you.
Microphone number 7.
Since I would speak on the same side that Mr. Smith just spoke on, if there's anyone opposed to the division, I would certainly ask to yield to them.
Are you in favor?
Five.
It doesn't sound to me as though this is of the Lord. I'd like to move it be postponed until the next General Assembly, and let the brethren pray about it in the meantime.
The boss says that's a proper motion to postpone action on this.
In effect, to table to the next...
to postpone action to the next General Assembly.
And it has been seconded.
And I recognize microphone number 7.
Then, sir, I would certainly speak in opposition to this motion. Charleston, North Carolina Presbytery. I don't believe it's been pointed out that the vote in the presbytery was 23-6. On this, one of the brethren that spoke today spoke against it, and I believe his opposition was the principal one in the presbytery. We recognize that everybody was not in favor of it. It was overwhelming a majority in the presbytery. We did not sense any deep-seated cleavage there, and there did come up a matter of policy in which some in one end of the presbytery may have felt one home mission policy was wise, and those in the other end of the presbytery may have felt another home mission policy was wise. I don't think that's anything that I mind saying here on the floor of the presbytery, since these questions have been raised, and I'm sure people wonder what the nature of this so-called division was. But the principal thing that I would say is that North Carolina is a large state, and this presbytery was organized in 1974 with only 5 churches. It has already grown to 18, and 2 others should be organized soon. We have in Burlington a new mission that we organized or started just 2 or 3 weeks ago, a month or two ago, that should soon be another church. The field is broad. North Carolina has always been a large state in Presbyterian constituency. The fact that the original presbytery was blessed from 5 to 18 churches in about 3.5 years shows, in my opinion, what could be done in each section. And I can only speak my own heart. There's no bitterness in my heart nor a misunderstanding toward any of the brethren.
The motion is to postpone. 13.
Dick Kennedy Smart, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. I would like to make a substitute motion.
For the motion to postpone?
Yes, sir. To the motion to postpone.
It is
that Overtour 23 be referred back to the Committee of Commissioners on Mission to the United States for further study and recommendation to this General Assembly.
Got to be on He's correct. We'd have to deal with this and then come to that.
I'll be glad.
Motion to postpone. I see no one coming to the microphone. I'm going to call for the vote.
You're coming to the microphone on the motion to postpone?
Microphone 12.
I'm Paul Ashton from Carolina Presbytery. I urge you do not postpone this. We've already made some preliminary work towards it, and I think the opposition is very minor as the vote was shown in the Presbytery. I urge you to do not go on with the postponing.
Microphone 12
again.
Mr. Moderator, Dewey Murphy. I was the principal one who was opposed to the division of the Presbytery. And in light of what has been proposed and was out of order, I would be perfectly willing and happy for the issue to be brought before the Committee of Commissioners and then referred back to this General Assembly. This may sound a little ironic, but I would be, with that in mind, I would be in opposition to postponing the decision until the next General Assembly.
Motion to postpone. Microphone 13.
Wallace Crone, Southern Presbytery. I would speak in favor of the postponement. I believe there should be some prayer and consideration. There seems to be some two sides to this story, and maybe a little bit more brotherly love to understand what the problems are and maybe straighten them out. So to postpone it would give more time and to think about it.
Have you got something to say that hadn't been said, brother? Microphone 11. Mr. Moderator, I call for the question on the postpone. I'm going to recognize that. If you want to vote on postponement at this time, you will say aye. If you want to talk some more, you will say no. We will vote on the motion to postpone. All those in favor of postponing, stand. Stretch, you got 10 seconds. Be seated. Those who do not postpone, stand. Be seated. The microphone 13. Mr. Moderator, Kennedy Smart from Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. I move that Overture 23 be referred back to the Committee of Commissioners on Mission to the United States for further study and recommendation to this General Assembly.
And then seconded. Microphone 7.
Mr. Moderator, Gene Parks from Carolina Presbytery. I speak in opposition to this. The information that you have in the notebook was presented in plenty of time for all the commissioners to study. Every commissioner here had the free and ample time to go to the Committee of Commissioners that had this, and I understand that they had no opposition at that point in time, and I believe that this assembly is ready to vote on this issue, and I believe that it has been so clearly stated. The opposition is small. In fact, I believe, if I remember correctly, even on Presbytery floor, a statement was made that there wouldn't be any further opposition about the matter from that one brother. But however, we all have a right to change our mind, and I would urge you to vote against this substitute, I believe, to send it back. I urge the General Assembly to deal with this now, because the large majority of the Presbytery has gone far in making preparation to move ahead for the advancement of God's kingdom in this area of Lord's Vineyard.
Microphone 5.
Neil Gilmore, Evangel Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, I don't think that the General Assembly has had opportunity to be fully conversed with what's happening in the situation. And notwithstanding the opportunity to sit in on the Committee of Commissioners discussion, I do think, however, that we could act upon this matter, but I do think it would be better if we put it back to the Committee of Commissioners and get them to discuss the situation once again and bring us the full review of the situation. Then, with discretion and discernment, we can vote I support the motion on the substitution.
We've had one speech on each side, and I sense that the Assembly is going to be ready to vote on this matter. Oh, time is up, so that settles the matter. I sense the Assembly is ready to vote. If you are prepared to vote on this suggestion by Mr. Smart, please, if you are ready to vote, will you please say aye? You want to talk about it some more, say no. We're going to vote. If you would refer this back to the Committee on Commissioners to report back to this Assembly, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
If you would refer it back, will you please hold up your hand? Down. If you oppose, will you please hold up your hand? It is referred back. I'm sorry, Nat, you got some old business. Overture 34.
Overture number 34.
Yes, sir.
Recommendation that the Assembly answer in the negative with no implication regarding the worthiness of Palmer Home.
You want to discuss this recommendation? Microphone 11.
Mr. Moderator, my name is Fred Carr from Warrior Presbytery. I'd like to offer an amendment to this.
Let's hear it.
Following the word negative in the recommendation, strike out the present words in the rest of this sentence, and in their place, add these words: but that the General Assembly call the attention of the PCA to the availability of the Palmer Home, Columbus, Mississippi, for the care of orphans and dependents from broken homes.
Did he have a second? Would you speak to it?
Mr. Moderator, the grounds upon which the committee makes this recommendation are certainly true. There is no precedent for such benevolent, designated benevolence. However, there is a precedent in this matter of dealing with this kind of request, and in particular of dealing with the request from Palmer Home. I refer you to the second General Assembly of the PCA. It's found in paragraph 2-104 of the minutes, in which a similar request was made, and we answered with these very words that I'd like to use as an amendment here. So this is kind of the precedent we set at the second General Assembly, and I just suggest we follow the same wording.
Microphone 15.
Mr. Moderator, Alan Story of Warrior Presbytery. I was on the Committee of Commissioners. We look for that wording, and I suppose probably now we wish we had found that. I know certainly that I would, and I hope the rest of the commissioners on that Committee of Commissioners would want to make this particular change. That we would refer the Assembly to what has already been said about Palmer Home. Being from Warrior Presbytery, which does try to support Palmer Home, it's a fine place, and they do a good work, and it receives good support from the Presbyteries that are aware of it. But they also provide an extremely useful service that this amendment reminds us of. So I would urge the adoption of the amendment.
I don't see anyone rising to...
Yes, sir. Microphone 5.
I would like also to speak in
favor of the recommendation that's been made.
Don't make it law.
All right, I'm Thomas Kay from Warrior Presbytery, the third person from Warrior Presbytery in a row here. But I happen to be on the board of directors of Palmer Home, also in close geographical proximity to the school. And the school has come in for something of a crunch with the change that has come about between with the formation of the PCA. In Alabama, there's the Talladega Home for Children, and that has had good support from most of the Christian churches of the South through the years. And many of it still support it to some degree. But Palmer Home has sort of been left out of the picture, and now
the
PCOS is withdrawing some of the support, or some of the churches are withdrawing some of the support they have been providing, which makes it doubly difficult for Palmer Home to get along. And I think that the members of the assembly need to know that there is such a place as this, a very worthy
institution
for us to support with our benevolent money.
Are you in opposition to the motion?
No.
Is he in the consent? Is Joe Mitchell here?
He's up there.
No, I don't think it's the next day. President of the home, we're glad to have him with us. I don't think we need any great discussion of this matter. I believe the assembly is ready to vote. If you are ready to vote, will you say aye? If you want to talk some more, will you say no? The recommendation is, would you read it, please? Number three.
Three.
Yes, sir.
But that the General Assembly called the attention of the Presbyterian Church in America to the availability of the Palmer Home, Columbus, Mississippi, for the care of orphans and dependents from broken homes. This is to be placed following the word negative, striking all the other words that formerly followed negative.
All those in favor of this amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
It is so ordered. Overture 35. Just a moment. Mike Levin.
This is Fred Carr again. I wonder if it would be in order to move that Mr. Mitchell be given the privilege of the floor and offered 2 minutes to explain to us the availability of Palmer Home.
It is in order.
I'd like to make that motion if it's proper.
Motion has been made that Mr. Mitchell be granted the privilege of the floor for 2 minutes. Second?
Mr. Mitchell?
Can you get down here in 2 minutes? All in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
It is a pleasure to be here at the assembly and to be among friends. I have particularly enjoyed visiting with many of you pastors and elders.
Well, we have visited
in your churches and have enjoyed your fellowship and enjoyed the support. We are available to you. Ministry to the Church of Christ, is our primary mission. If you have a tragic circumstance in your congregation
where you feel we could be of service,
we would be happy to accept a telephone
call from you
and give your application priority. If I can help you in any way, be glad to. While I'm here, I do want to take the privilege of introducing three of my children who came with me.
Wave your hand.
That's some of the children from the home who came
all the way up here.
It's quite an educational experience for them to see a General Assembly and to be among friends. Thank you for this time.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. All right, Mr. Chairman. Oh, wait a minute. State clerk.
If any of you ever want to enjoy a time of
Christian fellowship and hospitality,
go visit that home. My son and I did, spent a night in one of the cottages. The young ladies in that cottage entertained us royally and then had us to breakfast the next morning. A real Christian atmosphere. I was very much impressed with it.
I have yet to hear anyone say
Columbus, Mississippi is the location of the place. Oh, you did.
You want the mic?
All right, number five.
Edwin Elliott Jr. from Covenant Presbytery near Columbus, Mississippi. Palmer Home has suffered because of its testimony.
Its association with us?
Its association with one of our churches, which was bitterly prosecuted. Because it's in Mississippi and because it's controlled by our people, it has
suffered
from large areas of the church which once supported it. Its location
and the laws of Mississippi
enable the instructors
to run a
genuinely unrestricted Christian orphanage.
I don't think there's any other state in the Union that has the freedom to do that, certainly not in comparison with Mississippi. When Joe says that's a Christian home and a Presbyterian home, he says it, and except for other institutions in Mississippi, there's nobody can approach the authority that he has to do. We need to vote down this
positive statement and
vote up a thorough endorsement.
And I believe we've got precedent for it.
We license and recognize seminaries for the training of ministers. We recognize independent institutions to do our foreign mission work. This is a Presbyterian home associated with us. To give it formal recognition to do the diaconal ministry of the church is a step in the direction of promoting the entire emphasis of diaconal ministries, which is one of the great concerns before the assembly this year.
Mr. Chairman, next recommendation. Well, that was just a comment. There was no motion.
We haven't voted the final motion.
We've amended it, but we haven't voted the final.
All right.
Will you accept Overture 34 as amended? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. It is so ordered.
Overture 35, concerning extension of Pacific Presbytery, that the assembly answer in the affirmative. So moved.
Are you seeking the mic? Not on this. I see no one seeking the microphone. Without objection, it is ordered. Does that complete your report, except
this
for the financial part?
I move that the committee, the report be accepted as a whole.
Don't you have some financial matters yet to be? No financial matters.
You got that thing to refer, and you can't do the report as a whole.
You got to refer. Yeah. Refer.
Mr. Moderator, I would like to ask permission of the assembly that the committee of commissioners meet immediately with all of those who would like to be heard on this matter of Carolina Presbytery.
Where?
In the basement of the science building where we have previously met.
Motion is that the committee be excused to meet in the basement of the science building immediately, together with anyone who may wish to speak to the committee. Is there a second to that motion?
Mr. Moderator, we have another motion with regard to the permanent committee also asking to be excused to meet in the science building. We put the two together, sir. Both the permanent committee and the committee of commissioners asking to be excused.
On mission of the United States?
On mission of the U.S., yes.
Are you speaking to this motion to meet? Number five.
I'm Carolina Presbytery, and I would like for all the people here from Carolina Presbytery be invited to attend this meeting.
Anyone who's interested has been invited. Number six.
Mr. Moderator, Boyce Pooner from Western Carolinas. I have either a question or a motion. If by asking the committee, permanent committee member will do the job, then I won't put a motion. May I state what I'm interested in?
Well, you can state. Let's hear what it says.
We did not receive in the handbook a list of the names and addresses of the organizing pastors. MDW gave us a good list. We know. We see them.
But we have no such list in our records
of the organizing pastors
and the MUF. And I would like to
recommend that this be prepared
for us
so that each church has before them the names of our organizing pastors.
Now, as I understand it, sir, you're not talking about the group that appeared on the platform.
No, sir.
You want the list of names of organizing pastors?
Yes, sir.
Printed in what, in the minutes?
In the yearbook, I guess.
The yearbook?
Yes,
that's a long way off. That's another year off,
maybe. But
that we get them, maybe in their next mail out
to us, that would be.
I'll accept that as a motion. Does anyone want to second it? Would you explain?
Well, all right, yeah. Let's
vote on excusing these committees. All right, sir.
And it, don't sit down.
If you will excuse these committees, would you please say aye?
Opposed, no.
All right, now, you've made your motion. You have a second.
Will you give a reason?
Just simply, I think I gave my reason in my discussion,
but I really think that this is information that we ought to have
before us,
just as we
very graciously are given by the Mission to the World, and have these names
of these pastors
for our information and for our prayer and for our concern,
to have them
in our possession.
Will you leave it up to the stated clerk as to when, how, and where this will be done?
All right. You have heard the motion. Any further discussion of this motion? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Shall be done. Number 11.
Mr. Moderator, Tom Leppard, Evangel Presbytery. I'd like to know then if we can expect a motion to receive the report as a whole after the committee returns with a disposition of overture number 23.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
We have reached the conclusion of the business of Missions of the United States. At this point, while we are waiting for the next committee, which is the next one, by the way? We got so many unfinished.
We go back to
Mission to the World at this point. And while Mission to the World is preparing the rest of its
business,
I want to make a further appointment to the Committee on Thanks. There was a complication in respect to the attendance of
members of the committee for a quorum and that sort of thing.
And I will add the name of Mr. Fred Zier of South Florida to the Committee on Thanks. Okay, Fred?
Mr. Moderator, this reminds me of one other matter I have intended to introduce to the Assembly. I have in the past, without any particular authorization, received notices of excuse and simply printed them. If that's satisfactory, we won't need a standing committee to deal with it. But if not, it may be you want to ask the moderator to appoint some committee on excuses. There are a tremendous number of excuses, just people saying we're not sending anybody this year. No reason given other than nobody's coming. And whether you want a committee to review those things or whether you simply want it just printed, as I've done in the past, I would be happy to let the Assembly guide me in that. If I don't hear a motion, we'll just do it as done in the past.
I do not hear a motion, Mr. Moderator, so, Mr. Clerk, so you have the privilege of doing it as you have in the past.
Thank you.
Is the Chairman of the Committee for Mission of the World ready to go?
All right, sir.
Mr. Moderator.
Tell us where we take it up.
Members of the Assembly, if you have the report that was handed out and we renumbered the pages, we are on page 912 in the report. We have dealt with the first nine recommendations that were listed in this report. We are now at recommendation number 10. We have only two recommendations left in our recommendations, and then the last part of our report includes the communications, the review of the Permanent Committee's Mission of the World report, the audit report, and the list of committee members that are listed. That would be the final part. I want to remind you that communication or recommendation 8 included a prayer which we will be given upon the conclusion of our report as a whole. If we will now look at number 10, I will read the recommendation as it is given. Recommend that the General Assembly instruct all permanent committees to include additional explanatory information to accompany substantive items in the minutes. Our vote was 16-0. I so move.
Just a minute, Mr. Chairman.
We're having a problem finding where you are.
On page 912. It is misnumbered in
the handout
report,
which is 810,
and we ask that you
renumber that. This page would be 912.
This is mimeograph
page 912.
That's correct.
At the top it says Committee on Commissioners for the Omission of the World 6.
Correct.
All right. And recommendation 10.
All right.
You want me to reread it or?
No. Do you see where it is?
It's in about a third of the way down in the page. Are you gentlemen with her? Is everybody in the assembly ready to vote? No, I see some heads being shaken. Again, mimeograph page 912. It's a report of the Committee of Commissioners, page 6. It's recommendation 10. That the General Assembly instruct all permanent committees to include additional explanatory information to accompany substantive items in their minutes. I microphone 7.
Mr. Moderator, Vaughn Hathaway, Grace Presbytery. The Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business were excused at this report. I wonder if there are any more copies of this report when it was handed out. I do not believe there are, Mr. Moderator.
I believe they've gone.
I'm sorry, Vaughn.
They were adopted the other day.
I see no one seeking a microphone. Without objection, this is adopted.
Recommendation number 11, that the General Assembly instruct the Mission to the World to devise a policy concerning the receipt of contributions that would protect the right of individuals and churches to designate funds and at the same time provide an aggressive program to encourage contributors to redirect gifts to an oversubscribed missionary account.
Our vote
in the Committee of Commissioners was 16-0. I so move.
I see no one speaking your microphone without objection.
Is adopted.
Our report, the rest of our report concludes only the communications which have been read, the minutes of the permanent committee, which we gave with
the
exceptions, and it also listed the audit
report that had been received and
reviewed,
and the list of the Committee
of Commissioners.
This concludes, as far as I'm concerned,
our report.
All right.
Microphone 4.
Moderator, I believe that...
would it not, it, under communication, the Committee of Commissioners...
On that page 913, failed to make
a recommendation to the Assembly.
Was unable to make a recommendation to the Assembly regarding overtures 18 and 22. We must deal with that. I would like to make a motion
dealing
with
overtures 18 and 22.
Would that not be proper at this point?
Yes, sir.
Moderator, I move that we answer overtures 18 and from the North Georgia Presbytery and overtures 22 from the Ascension Presbytery by requiring the Mission to the World Permanent Committee to submit to the 1979 General Assembly clarifying language on these matters. If I get a second, I'd like to speak to it.
It's been seconded.
All right, sir. Now, so that the Assembly will understand what we're talking about, overtures 18 and 20 on page 30. On page 30. And to summarize while you're looking, these are identical overtures passed by North Georgia Presbytery and Ascension Presbytery, in which they indicate that the Permanent Committee on the Mission of the World has violated the manual in funding certain projects. Therefore, direct your Permanent Committee on Mission to the World to cease and desist
from such extra-manual
missionary endeavors. All right, that...
In order for a commissioner to
intelligently vote on this, the commissioner, you've got to say, if you vote on it now, in the substance of it, you've got to say that your Permanent Committee on Mission to the World violated the manual. How are you going to do that unless you have a manual?
How are you going to know it?
And unless we go in the complete and full debate of the manual, which is right here, and which it took several years to write. So the first thing you need to remember is that's what you would
be saying.
That the manual was violated. In what respect are they contending that the manual is violated? It is contended that the manual authorizes your permanent committee
to work in two areas.
One in church planning, one in cooperative agreement, under cooperative agreement. I would also point out to you
that the manual says
flexibility is evident in the two-pronged approach of relating missionary fields to fields of service.
It provides for flexibility in the two-pronged approach.
Not exclusively,
but flexibility in the two-pronged approach.
Now, first of all, it speaks of four projects that have been funded.
Without compromising the principle, I wouldn't ask any assembly if one penny was spent extra manual that they compromise the principle. A principle would be involved.
But I think the assembly needs to know, because I'm asking that you defer any action on this until later, the magnitude of what we're talking about. What we're talking about is that in the last 4 years, the your Mission to the World Committee has expended about $4 million on mission projects. Of this, of the nature that's spoken of in this overture, only $78,000 was expended. Of that $78,000, all but $18,000 was designated money. So your permanent committee,
if it has exceeded the manual's authority,
we're talking about only $18,000 out of $4 million over a period of 4 years of 0.4%. The point I'm making to you is, this is not a major factor. I understand if it's a principle involved, I want every man to have his say on the principle. But I want the commissioners to understand it doesn't involve the major activity. It's only an infinitesimal, small part of the activity of the permanent committee. That's the first point. The second point I want you to know is that none of these expenditures were made until the staff presented it to the permanent committee and the permanent committee approved them. So your permanent committee made a determination that they were not extra manual, that they were within the authority given in the flexibility stated in the manual. Let me illustrate.
One of the complaints, as you notice there, is
concerning
the Acapulco Crusade.
What is it?
First of all, the money for the Acapulco Crusade, the majority of it is designated. It came as a designated gift. But without that, what is the Acapulco Crusade?
We have work in Acapulco.
You know that, I'm sure.
It is to have Luis Palau come in next year and have a crusade there citywide that we are sponsoring. And it is our hope and the belief of the missionaries there that as a result of that crusade, we will be able to start 5 new churches. Now, we feel that the crusade is a complement to our church planting ministry in Acapulco. The crusade itself
is not going to plant the church.
But we believe from the crusade we're going to get the seed families
to plant 5 churches. So your permanent committee feels and felt that was a proper manual expenditure. The point I'm making to you is this is not something staff has done. This is something that your permanent committee has done in interpreting the manual.
Thank you, Mr. Murray.
Now, what I'm asking you, what I'm suggesting in my motion is this, that you have required that the Mission to the World manual, the whole thing, be mandatorily
brought before the
1979 Assembly for review. Next year, this assembly is going to review this entire manual. There is some question.
Some members of the committee felt that this exceeded it. There is some question on the committee as to whether or not these expenditures were authorized. This is not asking to stop these expenditures.
Jack, I've got to stop you, brother.
All right. Let me just say, in 79, it's going to be reviewed. I ask you to wait and let us bring clarifying language in 79 that the whole matter may be reviewed rather than taking 2 days debating it here.
Hmm.
I do not see anyone at the microphone. I think
after all that debate, we'd better vote. Do you want to hear the recommendation, the amendment again? Yes, they want to hear it again.
Three.
I move that we enter Overture 18 from North Georgia Presbytery and Overture 22 from Ascension Presbytery by requiring the Mission to the World Permanent Committee to submit to the 1979 General Assembly clarifying language in these matters.
All of those, is this a question?
Number 12.
Well, yeah. Moderator, I asked for recognition a while ago, but you didn't see me as I was coming to the mic.
I beg your pardon, go ahead.
I'd like to speak in opposition to this motion.
I think that we need to decide this rather than let this matter go on. If there is operation going on by the committee that's in opposition to our extra manual
work, then it needs to
not continue for this year.
I'd like to ask the question too at the same time.
The last speaker said that I believe $78,000 was going to these projects and only $18,000 of that was not designated. But does this mean that the Committee on Missions of the World can receive
designated money and then pass it on to particular projects without the approval of the General Assembly or
without following the procedures in the manual?
It seems to me that the entire $78,000 is involved, not just the $18,000.
Well, you're exactly correct. No committee can receive designated funds that don't meet the requirements of the manual. But I was just pointing out that of the $78,000, all but $18,000 was all that came undesignated. You're correct. We are bound by the manual regardless of designated, undesignated.
Now, I didn't mean to open a can of worms. Number 10.
Bob Allen,
Evangel Presbytery. I would like to make a substitute.
A substitute.
A substitute motion.
All right. This is for the
original recommendation on the overtures. Yes, sir.
A substitute to,
Here's an original, so your substitute's in order.
To read that the Committee on Mission to the World cease and desist such missionary endeavors
as are extra manual and
are not mandated by the two-pronged approach approved by previous
assembly.
Is there a second?
I take it you want to speak to that.
I don't feel I need to speak to it, sir, except to say that I think this is the tenor of the
overture that came from both
presbyteries. That's all.
Commissioner Mike Six has been on his feet.
Mr. Moderator.
Boyce Spooner from Western Carolina.
I'm a member of the
Mission to the World Committee, an alternate member.
But
I'm glad that this motion was made, but
I hope that we will defeat it.
Especially with the
Acapulco Crusade coming up.
To cut the
ground from underneath that crusade
at this time, I don't think
would be a good thing to do. I think the committee was right in supporting this, but whether it was
right or not,
it will mean that we'll have to retreat from that action and
leave
the missionaries in Mexico high and dry. And so I
think this motion that
was just made
ought to be defeated.
If there needs to be any
review of
that particular section of
the manual,
all right, leave it that way and leave it
for next year's decision, but
not to destroy this,
particularly the Acapulco Crusade,
to destroy this work at this time.
Mike 411 has been on his feet.
Let me yield to Dr. Fleet.
You want to yield to microphone 9.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator, and thank you for yielding.
Alan Fleet, Central Georgia
Presbytery, a member of the Permanent Committee.
This
substitute
is
very unreal in
this sense.
It says that
the committee must cease
and
desist immediately from
extra manual
expenditures.
That implies
there must be an official interpretation
of what the manual
does demand.
And this is the whole issue. I can assure you that the committee would not want to continue anything that the committee understands to be extra manual. This is our whole issue.
There was a minority
on our committee
whom we completely respect
who did interpret the manual
in such a way that this would have been extra manual. The vast majority of
the committee, after careful thought,
considered this an implementation
of a project
completely allowed for in the manual,
and
so took our action. It seems to me we can do nothing that would be constructive until we have the manual officially interpreted in these respects which the original motion called for.
We've had two speeches on one side, and just a minute, Frank. Let me see if someone wants to speak. You want to speak on the other side? Microphone 9, and then I'll come to you.
Peter Stazen, Ascension Presbytery. If you look before us,
the overture
clearly speaks to the issue at hand
concerning the two-pronged approach, and I am speaking in favor of the substitution.
Yes, sir.
Primary thrust being
the familiar denominational pattern, and the secondary thrust being
working relationships with other
evangelical mission agencies.
Is there a written
agreement with
the particular project mentioned there? And two,
is it within the
familiar denominational pattern? If it's not, I think it's going outside
of the two-pronged approach.
Microphone 11.
Mr. Moderator, Frank Barker, Evangelist.
I'd like to call for the question.
I was hoping that for once he had something to say. I was.
He has called for the question.
If you are ready for the question, will you please say aye?
Aye. You want to talk some more, say no.
We will put the question on the on the substitute. Will you please read it?
That the Committee on Missions of the World cease and desist such missionary endeavors as are extra manual and are not mandated by the two-pronged approach approved by previous assemblies.
This is what we are voting on.
All those in favor of this
substitute will please raise your hand. Down. All those opposed
will please raise your hand.
It is defeated.
We are back to the main motion,
which is that
by Commissioner Williams
to, in effect,
settle the matter next year.
Are we ready?
Do you want to discuss that some more?
Microphone 11, are you up on this matter? Sir?
Yes, sir, I want to call for the question.
No, sir. I think the book, you wanted to speak to this matter? 15?
I'd like to ask a question.
We'll hear the question and then I'll take 11.
In the debate on this motion, statement was made that we would need to have the manual before to discuss and see exactly what was in the manual. And I was wondering if the manual is available to individual churches and pastors.
You mean
if this passes, will it
be available during the year?
Is that the missions manual?
Yes. Is that the intent of your question? That's my question.
Yes. You want to answer that, someone?
The manual is in the minutes
of a previous assembly.
What did it? The third? Mm-hmm. What?
In
the minutes of the fourth General Assembly.
Are you speaking somewhere?
Five.
Clarification number five.
The manual that you're curious about
is published the fourth General Assembly minute.
I can quote one sentence that gives us our information.
It's Elder Thomas Burr from the Gulf Coast Presbytery.
Quote, no missionary is sent to work with another mission without this assigned agreement.
See Appendix C for sample copy.
My question is, do we have the necessary
signed agreement with these agencies?
I'm not sure that that's germane, sir, to the motion. Well, Pete, if you're going to answer it, answer it in a hurry, because that's not really the substance of what we're voting on, but go ahead.
I'll be glad to answer that question.
Well, go ahead, but don't take long.
The no missionary is out under any other agency without a signed agreement. The money we're talking about does not concern the sending of missionaries. So the overtures are in error in that extent. If we give money to run a crusade in Acapulco, we're not in a cooperative agreement of sending missionaries to that crusade. We're using the crusade to benefit our own church planting missionaries who are already there planting Presbyterian churches.
I'm in trouble now, because I thought we were just going to have some questions. A question?
All right, no debate.
Point of order over here, 13. Joy Piper, Mississippi Valley
Presbyterian moderator.
I appeal to you, sir. I believe you're not being as objective as you should be, and I think that we should have open debate as long as we have 20 minutes.
I haven't recognized
the call for the question.
It indicated that I was
going to, if there wasn't going to be any debate, and this was the source of my discomfiture, was that it looked like we were about to get into debate. And I'm afraid we are in debate. Number 7.
Don Clemens, Central Georgia. A question through you, sir, to the permanent committee. We have heard that there was $78,000 up to this point for the Acapulco Crusade. If we vote to delay action for a year, or these things involved, but some of them, the Acapulco Crusade, how much additional money during this next year will go to the major project of the Acapulco Crusade and the things we've been talking about?
I believe that we're in error in considering $78,000 for the Acapulco Crusade. The total for the Acapulco Crusade is $5,000. The total over the history of our missions program till this present date
has been
$78,000, or a total of about 0.4%.
Excuse me.
I said Acapulco was
$5,000 total.
Of that,
$3,000 has been designated for that project, and we have it in our treasury at present. I am not going to cut off
debate as long as the question is
as volatile
as it is. Back to 12.
Mr. Moderator, Mickey Snyder, Mississippi Valley.
I would like
to offer an amendment to the motion that the Mission of the World Committee be asked to provide the Assembly a written rationale explaining why participation in these projects does not violate the manual.
Now, my understanding is that this is an amendment to Jack Williamson's motion.
Substitute?
I don't think it's a substitute, because you want it before next year, don't you, or do you
want it next year?
My assumption is
that this will be done during the year, in addition to it.
In
other words, you want something done during the year, and then Jack Williamson's
motion, if passed, would come at the next assembly.
That's right.
We'd be delighted to accept that if you let us as a part of this main motion.
And I'm not going to let you.
Okay. Well, we support that.
Let's hear it once again, Mickey.
That the Mission of the World Committee be asked to provide the Assembly written rationale explaining why participation in these projects does not violate the manual.
You've heard
that. Is there a second? There is a second. Is there any need to debate that?
I'm going to call for a vote on that modification or that amendment. Those in favor of that amendment of the main motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Aye.
Ayes have it.
I'm about ready for that call for the question, Mr. President. Time is up. All right, I am ready for the call for the question on the main motion. Is the Assembly anxious, or does the Assembly wish to extend debate? If you wish to extend debate on the main motion, would you say aye? If you wish to vote now, say no. The main motion is that by Mr. Williams. Would you read it, please, Mr. Clerk?
Three.
I don't think we need that amendment
to read the motion.
I move that we answer Overture 18 from North Georgia Presbyterian and Overture 22 from Ascension Presbyterian by requiring the mission to the World Permanent Committee to submit to the 1979 General Assembly clarifying language in these matters.
Plus the amendment, yes.
The amendment hasn't been brought up yet.
That was Mickey's amendment. You know what you're voting on? All in favor, please raise your hand. Down. All opposed, please raise your hand. It passes.
Mr. Chairman,
does this conclude your business?
This concludes my business, except carrying out the recommendation that was passed in the matter of a prayer at the adoption of this as a whole.
This is our report. We have no recommendations, no motions on any of the rest, except that it is presented.
I'm afraid the chair doesn't understand or can't hear or something.
Come again.
All right. We read the entire report at the beginning.
All right.
We have given our 11 recommendations.
Okay.
Out of the two overtures came a motion that was made by Mr. Jack Williamson. We have no other report except that which you have given, and we give it to you as we have it, which is our report and the minutes of the permanent committee, which has shown that we have approved with exception, which is on page 914, and that we have also that we have concluded with the review of the report on the fact that we have
accepted the audit. All right.
Do you have something?
Mr. Moderator,
I just need some
help on the effect of the exceptions to our minutes. What is the effect of the fact that they made exceptions to our minutes on page 914? In past, Mr. Moderator, in past assemblies, the exceptions have just been listed in the book that is the report of the General Assembly's book that has been sent out after the completion of all the work. That is the only note I have. Now, if somebody wishes to make some motions or further recommendations, they may do so. But this is our report. We make no recommendations.
The exception is taken without a recommendation. All right, then. No action.
Mr. Moderator, what I do, at least with presbytery minutes, I don't know that I've had these with regard to permanent committees, is to send out the copy of the exceptions to the respective presbyteries, and I assume this would be my direction too, to send this to the committee on permanent committee. These were exceptions taken. Now, I don't know what we should do if we don't approve these exceptions, or are we going to be approving it? We're not to approve the exceptions?
No. As I ask, we're going to be approving the entirety of our report
with those as part of it.
That's right.
All right, so I would assume I'd handle it that way.
Exceptions will be noted, but there's no recommendation for action upon them.
Yeah. Mr. Moderator, I believe it's in order at this place. If it's not, you may direct me. I would like to move you, sir, that we adopt the report of the Commission of Missions on the mission to the world with appending the reception of the budget, which comes later.
I don't know why.
I so move.
Second? Are you speaking of this at 12? Back to the exception, sir. You are speaking to the exception?
Yes, sir.
Let's hear you. Bill Collins, Grace Presbytery.
In most of the reports, the exceptions really were in the form of notations and should not have appeared in the minute. We have not followed explicitly the instruction that has been given to us in our handbook. These notations, in effect, if adopted as part of this report, are telling the permanent committee in two cases the General Assembly has said they have erred. I want us to be sure we understand what these exceptions are saying. In my opinion, they need to be considered, and the General Assembly should either agree with them or disagree with them. And, Mr. Moderator, I think that is correct, because the
The coordinator is asking me now, if I send them to the committee, may they continue to follow the same practice in the following year? If we approve them, it would appear that we're saying they ought not to continue these practices. If we don't approve them, we ought to delete them from the minutes.
Mr. Moderator?
Just a minute. Let me see what the chairman has to say.
I just want to see if I can clear up some of this. It is possible that we have written in possibly what should have been in our own minute, things that possibly that we could have condensed in a more concise form. And so it may be that these should have been merely notations rather than full reports on what we discussed. So this may be the reason that this got in our minute.
Microphone 13.
Moderator, I'd like to amend that motion by adding the word.
What is the motion?
To adopt the report.
To adopt, okay.
By adding the word, with the exception of the exceptions on page 914.
You want to adopt except for the exceptions.
That's correct.
Is there a second? It's been seconded that the adoption of the report not include the routine exceptions. In other words, they would be considered routine.
It might be. Of course, maybe Dr. Patterson would want it that just that way, just completely exclude it. The other way of doing it would be change the word exceptions and notations, and then they would not have in other words, they're just incidental things that have been picked up.
Mr. Moderator, I want the word exceptions. I don't want any notations.
You want it left out in time.
Correct. My reasoning behind that, sir, is the fact that the committee, as I understand it, does have the privilege of maneuvering within the handbook and changing. There are those insurance matters, for instance, or pay raises or decreases according to the rise and fall of income or the cost of living in countries that affect the missionaries living, and therefore the handbook is a flexible thing that within which the committee has to work. The other matter, no assembly has ever said anything about the matter of lending money and interest and usury and so forth, and therefore I feel it's a matter that needs to be just expunged from the whole record.
Mr. Moderator, may I give a further clarification? I believe our committee, we were working, it was nearly 12 o'clock at night, and we had reached a place where we didn't like the word usury. We didn't like some of the other ways that it was worded. I think just for the sake of moving on that we just adopted. Now, if I'm wrong, some of my committee members may get up and rise to a point there. But I feel that this was, we somewhat may have been hastily in this, and I would certainly accept the motion that's been made.
May
I ask the question again? I think it would help Dr. Patterson get the best motion he wants. He just said he'd like to have it expunged. I wonder if he'd change his motion to delete this from the record. Otherwise, if we have a motion to accept for this, I think I'd have to keep it in the record and say this was not approved. I'd rather see him make the motion deleted from the report.
Wait a minute. We can't have a motion to delete on top of a motion to accept.
Well,
with the exception of or some such language.
You can make the motion.
My actual motion was by striking the exceptions on page 914. Is that
the motion is to adopt a report. Now, to that motion to adopt a report, you can take exception or you can amend.
My motion was to amend by striking the exceptions on page 914.
That's correct.
Would that do what Dr. Smith is saying?
Yes.
That's what I'd like.
All right. Microphone 12.
Mr. Snyder, Mississippi Valley. I would like, would it be in order to amend the amendment?
Oh, let's hear what you have to say.
Well, I would move that we amend the amendment to say, and that the Assembly instruct the Committee on Mission to the World to cease receiving interest on loans to missionaries.
That's a substitute, I believe, for the amendment.
Well, I'm not concerned with
maybe I didn't hear it clearly. Read it aloud again.
And that the Assembly instruct the Committee on Mission to the World to cease receiving interest on loans to missionaries.
Uh,
adopt the report as a whole and instruct the committee, is the way I read it. And yes, I think that can be accepted. That's what it amounts to. It amounts to adopt the report and instruct the committee, is really what it amounts to.
Ms. Moderator, could I interrupt you at the moment? We've had two requests for Reverend Harry George to come to the MUS Permanent Committee on the first floor of the Science Building. If he's in the building, that he'd be excused to do that.
The effect of this motion is to adopt the report plus Don Patterson's language and instruct the committee, and I'll accept it. Is there a second? You want to speak to it, Nikki?
Yes, sir. It seems to me that just expunging the notes from the record does not solve the problem that there is a contradiction between the practice and the biblical requirement. It's told in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 19, you shall not lend upon interest to your brother, interest on money, interest on victuals, interest on anything that is lent for interest.
Mark 13. I don't think this is proper in this reason, that if I understand the statement of the permanent committee, there is a provision passed by this assembly that requires them to invest that money which they have received and hold it to get the best interest possible on that money. Well, now, if they take some of this money and lend it to this missionary and he doesn't pay any interest, you have them violating instructions which have been given them. Besides, I think this was in the committee adopted as a whole. And what the effect of this motion would be is to make a false separation of the action of the committee of commissioners, because there was no division. The practice of charging interest was declared usury, but you cannot. You simply can't separate the two of them. So I think this whole thing is completely out of order.
Mr. Moderator,
Michael 12, a request for information. I would like to ask the moderator to give information through the stated clerk if necessary as to the purpose of a committee of commissioners finding acceptance. If they are simply not to be placed in the record at all, is there any purpose in finding exceptions? These were serious exceptions. I understood that they would be handled by the body. Now, I'd like to ask, for the record, what is the purpose of the committee commissioners spending time finding exceptions?
Is the parliamentarian, if somebody want to answer that, or do you want me to?
Mr. Moderator, I would judge the task of the Committee of Commissioners is the review of the Permanent Committee. If they find something that they think ought to be called to the attention of the Assembly, they ought to do so, and this is a way of doing it. In other words, find an exception to something in the minute. It would appear that the Committee of Commissioners as a whole was not agreed as to the interpretation of whether this was an exception or not. And this is the reason they come in with no motion on it. And I think it's in a sense the judgment of the Assembly now as to whether they would judge with Dr. Patterson that there's no real substance to exception here, believe it. If they do think it's something of major substance, then they could hold it in the record and direct the committee to do something about it.
Microphone 8. John Thompson, Westminster Secretary. I was on the committee, the commission of the world. I believe the Chairman's recollection is incorrect. Our interpretation of the instructions to the committee was that notations were items of editorial alterations and minor matters, punctuation, whatever, which were no substantive concern. However, it was also understanding on the instructions given to us as committee men that exceptions were items with which the committee was agreed that the committee was out of accord, either with the policy manual or instructions of the assembly, and with substantive matters, and would be matters which the committee, the appointment committee, would have to address themselves to, perhaps, I believe, maybe the next General Assembly, and indicate an explanation for those items. And in response to the committee's input, as I understand it, those who voted that these were accepted, that flexibility was granted to the committee in interpreting the part which dealt with the handbook for missionaries, which was part of the only a section of the manual, but that the core of the mission manual, other than minor alterations needed in the handbook for missionaries, was binding and would limit the latitude in which the committee had to act until a revision was effected at the 7th General Assembly.
That's okay.
Yes, sir. Since the Lord of the first if we're going to vote on this, could the public committee maybe give us an explanation of why these loans were made? I believe it's a discussion from the committee, but we don't have the privilege of having that information. If they could give that to us, it might help us if we vote on this matter.
Mr. Moderator, that is a valid question.
The last thing in the world the permanent committee is trying to do is hide anything from this assembly. The next to the last thing in the world we're trying to do is to prolong the debate. So sometimes those two are in conflict. And I'll try to make the explanations necessary on which you men can make a decision, and certainly whatever decision you make, your permanent committee intends to carry out. We feel like we're carrying out the directives as it is, but since it is in doubt, let us tell you exactly what we're doing, and you let us know. We've got some good men on that committee, and we think we're doing the right thing, and we'll tell you why right now. We've got two items before. Number A there under the exceptions has to do with the simple matter of how we charge internally these three items of expense: itineration expenses, fare card expenses, and fare letter expenses. The allegation is and there's a quotation here, expenses of itineration will be the responsibility of the churches served or of MTW in the case of churches not able to meet such expenses. End of quote. I assure you that the expenses are all being paid either by one of those two sources. If a missionary goes into a church and the church can reimburse Mission to the World for his travel expenses, then that church is, in effect, paying those expenses through that reimbursement. If the church is not able or willing to reimburse Mission to the World for that missionary's travel expenses through that church, then Mission to the World is paying those expenses. In no case that I know of, is the money coming from any other place. If a missionary pays it out of his own pocket, that's simply because he chooses not to turn in voucher for reimbursement. But they all know that they're authorized to do that. I think that's all the clarification that would be necessary there. Mr. Moderator, perhaps we could stop at this point and see if further clarification is needed, if that's in order, on that particular matter.
Microphone 16. I have a question. If we don't have an amendment or a substitute, one of the two on the floor from Mickey Snyder, that we cease and desist from charging use of the missionary. Is that not right? I'd like to speak in favor of this motion and ask the commissioners to bear in mind that it would be very inconsistent for us to charge interest to the missionaries when we voted in a $5 million campaign to allow churches to borrow money without interest. And this seems highly irregular to lend small amounts at a rate of interest and call it any interest of stewardship when we're lending $5 million and not charging interest. It just doesn't seem that we have carried through our thinking in this matter of what we're going to do with our stewardship, and if we can do it on one level, certainly we can do it on another.
Mr. Moderator.
Microphone 9.
I can have it back. I'd yield to you. Mr. Moderator, if I may, I'll speak to the usual question.
All right, please. I want the discussion to go on
right,
the
I'll
floor.
I'll hold it.
On the floor for just a few minutes, please.
What I would like to say is this. I'd like to speak against the amendment. I think the question of usury needs to be studied long, if not loud, and ought to come up another year, ought not to be tacked onto this issue right now. And I would ask, therefore, that the amendment be voted down, and that we approve Dr. Patterson's amendment, and that we show our confidence in the committee, the mission of the world, and the leaders whom we trust by allowing them also to go ahead and operate during the coming year until such time as the manual is either changed or things are provided for. I hope that someone will call for the question so we can get on with that. Thank you.
Microphone 12. Bill Combs, the Secretary, I would like to respond to an explanation the permanent chairman gave and do that by way of indicating that there was a disagreement in interpretation of the manual between the majority of the Committee of Commissioners and the permanent committee, and hence that's the reason we have brought it to the floor in this fashion, that the Assembly might make that interpretation and there would be no further question about this activity of the permanent committee. We recognize that the permanent committee is in a bind in terms of general fund expense money to support the travel of our itinerating missionaries. As we interpreted their action, it was not just a matter of a bookkeeping accounting, but rather it was something that could appear to be a little deceptive. Now, I'm not calling it deceptive. I'm just saying that it could have the appearance in this fashion. If a missionary would come to my church and we gave no support money for his travel expense, then it would be necessary for the Mission to the World Committee to add to his budget and hence make known to the churches that he needs his basic salary and expenses plus travel expense. Now, that hasn't been made clear to the churches in that fashion. And so it is for that reason, for the purpose of clarity, one, and secondly, that the permanent committee should have no further confusion in all the support of the Assembly that we have brought this in this fashion to the floor.